You belong to the Merry Marble Marching Society. March along to the song of the Merry Marble Marching Society.
Welcome to the Road to Infinity podcast. We are here to talk about all things Marvel news, reviews, some wild theories, all kinds of stuff is happening in the Marvel world. So joining me as always is Rob.
Hey, I'm telling you, we thought there would be no news, and there is news.
And oh, yeah. Craziness. There's a lot.
Yes.
I guess it's when you expand how many things you're doing, then the rumors seem to expand dramatically as well. There's all this stuff flying around right now, even though we're still, 9 months away from a movie?
Well, we are in the weird dead time of, post-E23, post-summer, everyone's back to school. We have a full, apparently, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker trailer about to drop. We're just in this weird, Disney is like saying, we'll just see what happens. And everybody, of course, is losing their mind because we have a lot of really cool things imminent in the next 60 days. And now everyone's trying to entertain themselves, I think.
Yeah. So what's our first item on?
So I'm going to go way back. There was a story that came out. Geek Tyrant ran it. A few other people in just the last few days. Kevin Feige shared some unused Iron Man post-credit footage of various versions of Nick Fury's cameo at the end of the original Iron Man movie. And in the one that he showed, it's the script, basically, Nick Fury talks about mutants. And he does. He full-on mentions mutants as opposed to all the crazy things that they're seeing and how they got to bring the Avengers together. So that's interesting that there was a version of it, and they obviously didn't use it for a variety of reasons back then. But I just think that's fun. And I think it just makes you realize there's so much stuff that we've never seen before.
I believe he also mentioned that there is a mutants and a radioactive bug bite. Something else he mentioned.
So they were really leaning into a lot of stuff. And I think they just realized, we probably don't want to go too crazy. Cause again, this is.
Yeah. I think that's when they were announcing the Infinity Saga boxed set, right?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a part of that. I'm curious to see now that we live in an age of Disney Plus and streaming stuff too, I don't want to buy them all again. Like I want to see all the stuff. And so if you'd sell me a $20 thing just of the bonus features, the new bonus features, I would happily buy that. I just don't want to buy $150.
I think it's Disney Plus into its own, and we'll talk about this a little later. It's going to be I think that's going to be the big vault of everything you could want, maybe for a upper tier price than the regular entry fee. But anyway, so that was interesting. Yeah. Some other stuff. We're still dealing with like the aftermath of everything from like Endgame. So there was a couple stories just sloshing around about the Russo brothers talk about the age of Cap. What is his age at the end of Endgame when you see old Cap sitting on the bench? And this came from an article and a couple interviews that they have been doing. And they basically said, his age is about 106, give or take. And
I watched the original footage. Right. This came from a Wired piece that they were talking about the special effects.
Yes.
And the language is a little odd. So I watched this too. And I also had my wife watch it too. I'm like, am I going insane? Because they say we wanted to show a person who has aged 106 years. They didn't say he was 106 years. They said that he had aged 106 years. So I would think that you would take his age and then add 106 to it.
The money quote
was, but that's not sort of how they're doing it.
It's a long story. It's a story for another time. Which, I mean, again, if the truck has enough cash in it, everyone's going to go, yeah, we're going to do another Captain America movie. So then the only other stuff was, okay, so there's still, I mean, and we could play taps. We could play whatever you want, continuing the reporting of the Spider-Man saga. I did see, this was from We Got This Covered. They had a story that I don't know if it confirmed or not, but that apparently that Tom Holland did film a Venom cameo and that Marvel made Sony cut it. And you'll probably never see it, or who knows, maybe you will. I don't know. So that's interesting. And then this led into you know, here we don't talked about last time. Everyone knows, obviously, the sort of the divorce between the Spider-Man within the shared Sony Disney MCU universe. Yet Sony Pictures CEO saying that the door is closed. Oh, is that your sad? That's your sad Spider-Man theme. Give it a second. Let it sink in. Mm-hmm.
That's my sad Spider-Man music, is,
right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, here's a couple LG of money. A here's Spider-verse. A couple of money quotes about all this. Here we all thought, oh, they'll figure it out. No, Sony Pictures CEO, the door's closed. Mm-hmm. We've got five or six Spidey TV projects in the works. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's picking up now. This is not as sad as I was.
That just stopped. Wow, don't. That got me really excited. That was getting me really excited about it. So, okay, but then there's the best one though. So this is Tom Holland in a GQ interview. And did you see this? What he said?
I it's interesting when you have to the actors, because sometimes I think they're putting a spin on it. Other times it's like, this is what my corporate overlords have instructed me to say. You kind of have to go, is that really how it feels? Or is it just like,
that.
I have to and make the best of a bad situation, said, guys. Which be cool. Is,
I've truly had the time of my life, and in so many respects, they have made my dreams come true as an actor. Sony has also been really good to me, and the global success of Spider-Man Far From Home is a real testament to their support, skill, and commitment. The legacy and future of Spidey rests in Sony's safe hands. Good Lord, dude!
Now... Can't you just see his publicist saying, like, this is what we're releasing? Him going, okay.
Everybody, put down the weapons. Let this man have some freedom. Hey, I mean, man. I just laughed at the...
No.
Wow, though. That went
if Sony is holding you hostage, blink twice.
I mean...
I know, the last weird... Because this we could it could be a course. Whole, like... almost daily podcast just on the rumors and what's supposed to be going on. The weird rumor I heard last week was they're back at the table. They're discussing it, but Sony's sticking point is Venom has to be in the MCU. Like, really? Like, that's where they're like, okay, we'll give up, you know, $500 million, but you have to make Venom. Like, please take our poor sweet boy.
We did this one thing that made some money, and we want him to grow up. I mean, come on. I don't know.
Don't even want his own, you know, like a turd in a wind. I can't remember what the terrible line was.
So, yeah, I just, you know, I mean, wow. I mean, I just could not believe that statement, though. That statement was like that, like any one of the sentences in that six sentence paragraph, you would say, okay, that's fine. All of them together is a little ridiculous, but whatever, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's business. So then there was a this was a couple weeks ago. Comicbook.com had an article. Somebody had done a cool infographic. It's the Geek Twins, and that's their at the Geek Twins on Twitter. They had shared this really interesting infographic of the visual guide to Marvel live action character rights.
Oh, okay.
And it's a very cool, like, giving you the bigger picture. Now, this was interesting. They you know, they had pretty much everything in Marvel Studios, right? So MCU, this includes the Guardians, Eternals, Iron Man, all this stuff. They had Universal, but they showed...
I remember seeing this when Fox was still a separate thing. I haven't seen the updated one.
So this is the updated one. So there's this sort of, like, circle that is sort of half in Marvel, half outside. The General Ross, Betty Ross, the Abomination, Hulk, they're in the shared space. Namor,
Universal.
Yeah, Namor, though, is on the bubble between the two.
Oh, interesting.
And then Rick Jones, he is completely, he's outside of that. He's safely outside of the shared space in that. And then this was interesting. So then they had these two other circles, Netflix and Sony Pictures, because the Netflix agreement is obviously still, I don't know when that runs out, but... Netflix still has like a Daredevil and Elektra and Purple Man and all those things will have for a while. But
The Defenders.
But Kingpin is shared equally right now between Sony and Netflix.
Oh, interesting.
Which I did not know that. Again, I don't know Kingpin, the source of this, but.
Oh, interesting. So Kingpin is considered a Spider-Man character.
Well, in the way this showed it, because then Sony's is, you know, Spider-Man, Venom, and then like, you know, ones that I was surprised I didn't realize that they had, like they obviously Vulture, but Sandman, Rhino, mm-hmm. you know, Black sure. Cat, Kraven, Dr. Octopus, mm-hmm. Hobgoblin, all that other, you know, all the stuff that you would suspect yeah. to be with Spider-Man. But that's interesting that, yeah, Kingpin equally between the Netflix and the Defenders and the Spider-Man universes. Hmm.
Interesting. I always think of him as much more of a Daredevil thing, but maybe he was originally premiered in Spider-Man and then, you know, sort of rose to prominence in Daredevil. And so he's considered a Spider-Man character because that's where he first came out. Interesting.
So definitely though. Yeah. Like I said, the Geek Twins on Twitter, it just was a really cool, and it's really kind of funny because all of the faces of all the characters, they made them, they kind of look like South Park characters, which is kind of amusing, but no, it was interesting just to see how this whole, all this all works out and stuff right now, at least. And then, you know, Netflix's rights will run out. And then we'll see what goes there. So anyway, but that's all I got from looking backward. Everything now is.
So before we get into the future kind of stuff, we were having a conversation off mic. I was talking a little bit about comic books and things, and I was talking about how I read and what I read and stuff too. And Rob said, you know, I don't know any of the stuff you're talking about. I don't know any of these applications or these places to go. You should tell the people. So I realized that what I consider to be common knowledge is not actually common knowledge. So I'm going to take a little moment here to talk about how you can read comic books for free. So I read a lot of stuff. I've been reading comic books for, you know, 30 years. And I really started reading traditional comic books. But now here we are in the 21st century in 2019, and there are ways you can go about reading comic books. Now, if you are well-to-do, if you have disposable income, then, and you're interested in comic books, then I would advise you to go to either to your local bookstore or to Comixology and buy them, because comic books are awesome and the creators deserve their money. For the rest of us who do not have that kind of disposable income, there is a legal, free way for you to be able to read the majority of comic books that are out there. And that are, see, I wish this was a paid advertisement, but
it sounds like it, right?
Doesn't it? It looks like I'm reading the commercial, but it's not. So there are two services, and they're all from your local library. Aww. Yes, the library has finally gone digital. So you can go to the library and check out a comic. There's tons of graphic novels, and you can special order and all that stuff through, you know, check your local libraries for how they go about that. But there are two applications that are called Hoopla and Overdrive. These are free services that come along with your library card, essentially a library membership. Yeah, I guess library membership, probably a better way to say it. So you can go to any of these places and you enter your information and it'll connect you to what your library is. You create a free account and then you can check out digital comic books to read on whatever device you have for free. So all like when we were talking a couple weeks ago about the Hawkeye series. Right, right. So the Hawkeye series that Matt Fraction did, which is, it looks like the TV show is going to be based on, with where you mentioned Kate Bishop and stuff too. And so I was talking about that and how you can get it. And that whole run is available for free right now on Hoopla. You can go, you basically create your account. I use an iPad, so I'll just use an iPad as an example, but I think you can do it on your phone or anything else, any Android.
And this
device.
Is Hoopla. HooplaDigital.com is the website.
Yeah, hoopladigital.com is the website. That's right. I think it's just overdrive.com is the, but I don't know that one. But it depends on your library. We'll choose one or the other. And there is a certain amount of they track this stuff, so they actually can use these numbers. So this isn't just a free fun thing. They actually can use the numbers and say, look, how many they're checking out, and then they can use those to order more, and then eventually the artist will get
paid. Somebody has to have value somewhere.
Yes, and I know somebody who works at the library, so I can tell you that there is a system that goes into effect where the library digitally purchases a certain amount of licenses that they can then check out. So there is a financial part of this too. It's not just a for free thing. So somewhere down the line, the artist is getting, you know, of course, as someone who fights for or who believes in artist rights, they're getting, you know, a dime of the $20, but
they're
whatever.
Getting exposure. That's they're something. Getting exposure in a way that they may not have gotten otherwise.
Let's hope so. Yeah. The main thing is you get to experience their stories and then become a fan of them. And hopefully then you can go and meet them at a con or get the autograph or
translate that into purchasing stuff of theirs. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's great. And it's great because their interfaces they have are so well put together that you download, digitally download the comic book and you have it for, I'll say graphic novels, because usually it's like 6 to 8 issues in one sort of collection. And then they'll blow the page and you touch the panel and the panel will go full size on your screen so you can see the art, read everything, and you just tap it and it'll go to the next panel, next panel, next panel. And if it's a big splash page, it'll show you the big exciting thing. And so for those of you who aren't as comic book literate and are afraid, like, I don't know where I'm supposed to be looking on the page, this does all the work for you. So any of the things that we talk about, I just tell you, like, the majority of the big exciting runs of the big, because we're obviously a Marvel podcast. So any of the stuff of Hawkeye or the female Thor we were talking about when Jane Foster was Thor, all those are up there available. Tons of Spider-Man stuff. All these great, great stories by these amazing creators, all available for you for free. There's no reason not to get in there and you know, they're fantastic. And obviously, if you love them, then go buy them. You know, keep them for your collection. I do that all the time. I use it as a sampler. So I go in, I find a thing, I'm like, oh, I've heard about this. I don't know if I really want to pay money for it. It's sort of like renting. Like, I can check it out, read it, and go, this is really good. I want to keep this forever. And then go over and pay the $5, $10, whatever it is to buy the digital version of it. I just don't have enough room in my house for comic books anymore. So everything I buy is digital at this point, unless something you can't get digitally. But anyway, so that's like sort of this is a little public service announcement. I just wanted to put that out there. So anybody who actually wants to, you can go out there and read these stories for free. All you have to do is be a member of your local library.
That's awesome. And again, for the reason that we said, exposure, and once you become a fan, dive in and invest right. in your.
Yeah, this is a great way to just to dip that's your awesome. Feet in the water.
I have some news, but you're going to be shocked at what I'm about to say. In our as we move forward to news from forward thinking things, I have some DC news that
from the other side, the distinguished competition.
We Brand must F. discuss actually these two stories because they are related. And you probably know the one, if not both. James Gunn had released his full cast list for the Suicide Squad, and there were some really interesting names on this list.
Very interesting, yeah.
Michael Rooker, Idris Elba, and Taika Waititi, which Sean Gunn, of course, too. and also a name that we are both familiar with, Peter Capaldi, which I can't believe. Yeah. I'm so interested in what he's doing.
I know. I have no idea what character he's going to play. And also John Cena.
We can go in Pete Davidson from SNL. Like, it's just this insane. Yeah. What is this movie going to be?
I don't know. And how fast will these people die?
Because that was the joke that he introduced the cast list. He said, yeah, don't get too comfortable with any of these people, right? But that's right. Okay, so I had a really weird when I saw this list. I mean, obviously, and why am I bringing this up? Because there are some significant MCU people on this list, right? So that's going to be interesting. And what does this all mean? One thing I will just say is when they mentioned Peter Capaldi, you know what I totally thought of? What if he completely reboots the entire Joker concept and Capaldi is an older Joker?
Oh,
that would be amazing. But anyway,
it would be amazing. However, sort of knowing DC like we know them, and when they have a Joker movie coming out,
yeah, it's not happening. But here's how this related to this other article. There's an article I just read. We got this covered. Website had this mentioned. And now this is crazy, but I thought this was interesting. So on the heels of Apple's announcements last week, there was a story that came out that talked about J.J. Abrams. And the story was that Apple had offered J.J. Abrams they offered him $500 million. And it was to do whatever he wanted, Bad Robot in exclusively, and there is your keyword, exclusively under the Apple, the Apple roof. And say, look, we want you to be us. We want you to be ours. Okay. And he said no. Mm-hmm. And the story was that he ended up going with a Warner Media deal that was worth like half as much, $250 million. Not half $1 billion, $250 million. Well, there is a story, and this is based on, I think, a lot of different things, but there is a rumor that is going around that J.J. Abrams and James Gunn are going to take charge of the DCEU. And that was part of the Warner deal for JJ, and why James Gunn clearly has been given free reign to do whatever the hell he wants with the Suicide Squad. And I will say this, like, you read that and you just think, oh, yeah, whatever. But when you read the story about JJ giving up $500 million and you see this cast list, well, that's very interesting.
That is very interesting. Yeah, in the world of rampant speculation, we know there's going to be, okay, we know the Suicide Squad. We know the Joker movie is coming. Oh, apparently, it's getting rave reviews from all the people who have seen it so far. The Birds of Prey movie, which I believe is, let's see, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of One Miss Harley Quinn.
I think Fantabulous. I think it's Fantabulous.
Fantabulous? Okay. I knew I was going to mess that one of the words up. And then, do we know anything else?
Wonder Woman 84.
Oh, Wonder Woman 84. That's right. That's already shot and done. That's just it. Waiting for it to be released in May. Yeah, and that's all that's on the docket at this point.
No, nothing else has been legitimately confirmed. So,
yeah, because there's no movement on anything else. I mean, they want to do Aquaman 2, but there's no movement on that at the moment, or in the, or more Justice League or Batman or Superman.
Well, we know there's the Robert Pattinson
idea. Yeah, that's right. We do know that. That is that casting. So that's filming. So that's 2021.
Right. I don't think it's filming yet. I think that's still in.
Oh no.
No, I think they're still figuring it out.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. Who do we know? Who are we to know, right? But wow.
The DCEU. We're figuring it out.
But isn't that, right? Isn't that interesting though? Like, I wonder if this is their, like, this is their story, makes you wonder, well, that's cool for them. But at the same time, like, so where does that leave Guardians 3? Like, I don't know how that works out. Well, it's going to be interesting to watch.
There was a very, very succinct answer. So someone on Twitter asked James Gunn, how many more Guardians of the Galaxy movies are you going to do? And he said, one. So as of Guardians of the Galaxy 3, I think he's done with Marvel. And I can't really blame him for it. I think he wants to complete his story and then walk away. That would interesting. So him and JJ together doing a new 52 sort of soft reboot of the DCEU, right, is very interesting.
Yes, absolutely. Like, I'm intrigued. And it does, obviously, why are we talking? Because it is connected to obviously the Marvel stuff that we obviously love. And we're fans of DC too. It just, they've had some missteps. So anyway, I just thought those were really interesting stories, and the connection of JJ, just, wow, really interesting. Again, it's got to be something to give up $500 million. There's got to be a good reason. So anyway, so that's interesting. Now, there was another story too, and this is, again, all about, like, all the phase 4, phase 5, what is happening next. We got this covered, which obviously really dips their toe into some of the real peripheral stories. But there has been talk that Ryan Reynolds has mentioned to some people that he's been told that, yeah, he's playing Deadpool, but it's not going to be the same Deadpool that's been in the movies you've seen. That they are going to tone him down, and I guess, you know, who knows? But interesting that they're talking about, yeah, it's not as crazy as a Deadpool as you've seen in the 2 R-rated movies that Fox did.
I think they could do it. Like, I mean, I think that there is a way to have a funny, crazy, weird Deadpool. So obviously I'd be perfectly content to have Deadpool 3 and whatever, exactly, like, following that same line, dirty, raunchy, nasty. Okay, fine, great. However, I've seen Deadpool in cartoons, and he's been great. Like, he's had multiple appearances in children's shows, and he's been fine. Like, he's still Deadpool. So I think there is a way that you could do it. My worry is, how do you sell that? Like, how do you have that come out, a PG-13 Deadpool and the blah, 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 because they're going to have to do something to make it more exciting, more interesting to people, that have it not seem like this is lukewarm.
There's
Deadpool.
Only one way to do that. What's that? Two trucks of money go get sent to Australia and they and they knock on a Mr. Jackman's door and they go, listen, here's the deal. We have an idea for a movie. That's it. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how you do that. I just think that, wow, if they're, yeah. if somebody is testing the waters, that's an interesting tell. Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah. And speaking of testing the waters, I don't know if you had this too, but I heard another interesting rumor about where Marvel is. I guess we're in the land of rampant speculation now, but this was a rumor that I thought every once in a while, I get the impression that Disney likes to float stuff out there through the rumor mill.
Oh, absolutely.
To see how people will respond. They do this a lot.
Oh, I wonder if this is, I wonder if this is the one I saw too.
We talked about this or not too, but I saw an interesting article that really got me thinking. So they are talking about, how are they going to bring in the X-Men? How are they going to bring mutants?
Yes.
You read the same article as me. How are they going to do it? And how are they going to make it new and different? Like you've already had, you know, Patrick Stewart and Surian McKellen. I guess Sir Patrick Stewart, Surian McKellen. I got to give them their propers.
Right. Give Patrick.
And how are they, how do you do it differently? Well, the rumor that they put out there is, what if Magneto is Denzel Washington?
Right.
And Professor X is Will Smith.
I mean, okay. So here's the,
It's one of those things where you go, what? And then the more you think about it, you're like, huh. Okay.
Okay. So here's all I want to say about this. Now, well, no, there's not, I have more, many things to say. First of all, there are people who immediately will go back. Well, okay. And this is absurd. Let me just clarify this right off the bat. Yes. Who will say, well, you know, Magneto is Jewish. How does that work? Well, not all people who are Jewish are white. So chill.
True.
First of all, like, let's just put that aside. Second, okay, now, Denzel Washington, right? We all love Denzel Washington.
We all love Denzel Washington. He's amazing.
He is also, I as great as he is, and he's just, and I enjoy Tom Cruise. But Denzel Washington is kind of always, he is the Denzel version of the person he plays.
Yes.
So I started just getting these ideas of like what Denzel, what is he like as Magneto? And I could not wrap my arms around it. And I was like, I don't know how that works. Will Smith as Professor X then, right? Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
I flip on that. Like, I think that Denzel would be a fantastic Magneto. I like him as a revolutionary, as a rabble rouser, as good. You know, like as a like striking back. I mean, obviously, for God's sake, the man played Malcolm X. I mean, that's clearly the line they're drawing. But also, Magneto doesn't have to move a lot. I mean, like, okay, I love Denzel Washington, but like his days of Man on Fire are at an end. And I think he would prefer even Samuel Jackson said, please don't make me run.
There'll be no third equalizer. That's it.
Right. He didn't have to do that anymore. Like, okay, the 60 plus action stuff, I think we're all done with that. Every time I watch those movies, I'm like, oh, their knees must be so sore. Because as someone in my 40s, feeling the way I feel, watching them run around like, ooh. But Magneto doesn't have to do that. Like, you don't have to, like, get in perfect physical condition, all that kind of stuff. Like, the suit will do a lot of the work, and then a lot of it is just presence and gesturing. I'm not underselling what it is, but like you can do a lot with just a wave of your hand and all the cars go up. You don't have to worry about being in Captain America kind of shape. So I think the strength of his performance will be a lot more important than what it is. Will Smith is Professor X. I don't know. All the things you worried about with Denzel, that's my problem with Will Smith, is that Will Smith always gives a Will Smith performance. And I don't see him as being caring, nurturing, the calm leader, the one who has the wisdom and guidance and stuff. Like, I don't see that.
Well, the thing I thought was funny is that we've already seen him bald in a comic book movie. In Suicide Squad.
Oh,
so
I'm like, are you talking about Hancock? No.
Oh my God, I forgot about Hancock. Oh jeez. Oh no. Put him in Fat Thor in a room, and then we got We got lots of problems.
Oh, man. There's got to be a fanfic out there of superhero group therapy session.
Oh, man, that goes crazy quick. No, I mean, but here's the deal. The real story is, of course, you have to do. Yes, I agree with Disney. If this is true and they are fishing, I believe this. Yes, you got to do something different. That sounds, I mean, I think that's great regardless of how, I mean, doesn't matter the in terms of the ethnicity at all. Like, I mean, you want to get, I mean, okay, if you're talking about putting Denzel Washington in the MCU, hey, everybody, that's going to be good. Right? I mean, it's going to be phenomenal. He is somebody that you would love to see. I mean, you know, when you think about all the great, even just the little bit of Michael Douglas we get in Ant-Man and all these other, some of these characters.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, why not? Of course you can do that.
Okay.
Do
so let's fan cast. Let's say those guys are great, but they're also in 50, 60 range. Okay. Let's say they want to go younger, which it's Hollywood. Of course they want to go younger. Who's that? The equivalent of the 30-40s. And I'll go first because I just thought of one. So my pick for a young, dynamic, black Magneto would be Sterling K. Brown.
Oh, you'd pull him, you'd have him do double duty?
Yep. He's dead. I mean, he's dead because, you know, he died in the 90s or whatever. And we've seen Marvel do this already. They've already pulled people and reused him again. Mr. Ali was on the last season of Luke Cage, and now he's going to be Blade. So it can be done. I mean, the thing is, like, you just, like, you know, you, I would say, change his look, you know, changes, like, you change his facial hair, all that kind of stuff. You know, in between the filmings of This Is Us, I think he would be a wonderful Magneto.
See, now I would look at I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Michael Ealy. It's okay. Ealy. He was in the TV show The Following. It was a crazy dark show with Kevin Bacon. He was in that, and okay, he's just got a great look. His eyes got these really piercing eyes. Great actor too. I mean, just can really show from that. I remember from that show, just can really show that he can play really tortured souls in terms of his just emoting all of this. That, you know, a complex character.
Yeah.
So I would think that would be good. You know who else I would love is I just had to think of it from Criminal Minds. He's not on there anymore though. Shemar Moore.
Oh yeah.
He's on the new SWAT. He's on the SWAT show. It's not new. It's been around. I think it's in its third season on CBS. He would be awesome too.
Okay. Yeah. Cause you have to have somebody really, really charismatic and dynamic for Professor X, because it has to be someone that you already trust.
Yeah.
As soon as you see him.
See,
it's interesting. I think it's an interesting path for them to go down.
Yeah.
I would like to see like what they where they sort of go with that.
But just the big thing is when you see stories like that, that is and Disney right now, again talking about another universe, Disney is definitely fishing for user feedback. I'm specifically talking about, if you've listened to any of the latest rumors about Star Wars, they are apparently peddling multiple endings to the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, that seems to me a difference of creator and studio.
I don't know what's going on, but I'm hoping.
I think JJ had something radical in mind, and the executives are like, I don't know if we could do that, and so they're testing the waters.
I know, and I mean, look, when you're talking about
Marvel does it too.
You're talking about multi hundreds of billions of dollars here, based on the full total portfolio of this company. Yeah, I understand they care,
and I understand, and I read, and I just heard an interview with Marcus and McFeely about it, and they talked a little bit about the test screenings they did for Infinity War and Endgame. So I mean, like, they really did put a bunch of out there in the very select audiences to see how people responded to stuff, and like, you know, people were like, the first hour of Endgame, people were like, it's really slow. Not a whole lot happens. And they're like, yes, that's by design.
Yeah.
But so we do know that there is an extensive testing process that happens.
Interesting. Well, no, I, you know what? Yeah. Look, I have a lot of trust in the creative casting, visual storyline brain trust that puts this together. I think they're doing a great job. I think you've got to be willing to think outside all the boxes that you possibly can have in this. So that's how it's going to, that's
and,
how it's going to,
and speaking itself. Of which, there's an article I found on Collider.com, written by Nick Ross. It is 10 actors who could lead Marvel Disney Plus series Moon Knight. So it's 10 actors who could be Moon Knight. And some of them are ones you'll go, oh yeah, of course. But there's actually a couple names on here that I had never thought of before, and it really made me start thinking about.
And remind me, Moon Knight is the one who's like, it's Egyptian.
He's Egyptian. So Mark Spector is a mercenary who is resurrected by the moon god Khonshu to become his enforcer on Earth. And the question becomes, was he really resurrected, or is he just insane now? So I don't know exactly what tact they're taking with the show. So, I mean, part of that would see who they're going to have as the right person. But Mark Spector is suffers from multiple personality disorder. So he has different personalities that sort of come to the fore all to help. And I'm not sure if they're going to go with the supernatural element of him fighting supernatural, because originally he was fighting werewolves. And then later on, he was just fighting, like, I don't know, just mercenaries, like, you know, bad guys with guns. So I'm not sure which way Disney is going with this.
I seriously thought you were going to say regular wolves. I didn't know where that was going. I was like, oh, okay.
Werewolf, or, you know, just regular wolf hunter.
All right. Interesting. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So they've got some names.
So they come together a list of 10 names. The interesting people who could be, and they're not saying these guys are up for the role, but these would be interesting choices. And I agree. So we'll talk about them. So the first name on the list is Jonathan Groff. Jonathan Groff from Mindhunter, but also he is from Frozen. That's where most of the other, and Hamilton. He was.
Oh yeah. Jordan yeah. Hamilton. Okay.
Yeah, handsome dude, very charismatic. I don't know that he is. I have never seen Mindhunter, so I don't know for sure. I don't know if he has quite the thing to have that sort of, you know, craziness part of that, where he can be a little unhinged, because Mark Spector also can be incredibly violent when he needs to be. He's the reason he dresses in white is because he wants you to see him coming.
Well, and Moon Knight is if you had to pick what's another comic book character you could relate him to. Would Spawn be it?
I would say closer to. I guess he's kind of like Marvel's Batman, except he doesn't have quite the moral code.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Because it's rich guy, bunch of tech. He doesn't have any powers really.
Oh, okay.
He buys all of his own stuff. For a while there, he was like very living the James Bond kind of, like, he had the his own plane, he had a car, he had discs that he would throw out in the shape of half moons and that stuff.
Oh, okay, all right. When you see the imagery of you do a Google search, you do images. It's very much Spawnish, but I can see now where you're saying Batman. I can see that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's got the big cape and stuff too. But lately, I mean, Warren Ellis wrote him recently. Had another personality emerge called Mr. Knight, and so he was in a white suit with the full mask on too. And he was like, you know, same kind of thing. He was still fighting against, but he was sort of like defending the defenseless kind of thing in his own extremely violent kind of way. So like I said, there's been a couple different versions of his story, so I'm curious to see where they're going. And the same thing can be said of with Daredevil, there's a lot of different ways you could do Daredevil. Which way are they going with it? But anyways, so Jonathan Groff is the first name on the list. Interesting idea. Adam Brody from the OC, and also he just showed up in Shazam.
Oh yeah.
I thought that was an interesting idea. Like, he hasn't got a lot of stuff. I think he's in the DCEU now. Those of you haven't seen Shazam, first of all, see Shazam. It's really freaking good. And I won't spoil who he is, but he plays a small but really, really memorable role in that. And I hope that he has a big part in the sequel. I thought that was a very interesting idea, because he's of that probably the right age now. He's sort of grown up past his OC days, and now his sort of, he can do that grizzled look. This actually was our name that though, but oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Jensen Ackles from Supernatural.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, Supernatural's ending. So, like, both those guys are going to be, like, on the market. Like, they're going to be looking for their next gig.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Like, well, it does make a lot of sense. And yeah. also, it's a television series. So, going right to TV, the TV actors tend to like Absolutely. The TV schedule. And he's been doing it for 13 seasons. Yeah, it's really
amazing, right? I mean, Supernatural's been going on since, like, 05. Like, what the heck? All right.
Yeah, I mean, they outlasted their network, for God's sakes. The WB didn't even exist anymore. Okay, so next name on the list was a guy I did not know. Oliver Jackson Cohen. He's from The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, wait, this is the... oh, yeah, oh, he's...
He was the haunted drug addict.
Oh,
my God,
he's the one brother. Oh, yes. Okay, Haunting of Hill House is a phenomenal show on Netflix. They're doing a sequel. I can't wait for it.
Okay.
He, okay, one amazing performance in that show. He's a little young. He's younger than some of the other guys because he's in his early 30s. But mm-hmm. yeah, oh yeah, he could do it. Sure.
Yeah, they say he's also very, very tall.
Cool.
Commanding present. This is a fun one. Andrew Scott, who most of you know from Sherlock. He played Moriarty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's also been in Legion and Fleabag and other stuff too, but he's like one of those. Every time he shows up, it's something. I think he was in one of the last Bond movies, too.
Yeah.
Spectre, yeah. So every time he shows up, he always delivers a great, great performance. So that'd be interesting to see him in a lead role as a hero.
Cool.
Let's see. The next on the list is Rodrigo Santoro, who was Xerxes in 300 and was recently on Westworld. I can't remember what the character's name was, but he played the evil cowboy, not the man in black, but the one who was sort of on the path of destruction with the rest of them. He was also on Lost. Yeah. I think he would appreciate us not mentioning his time on Lost. Very contentious time on Lost. This is another name that pops up that's right now is popping up on every list. This is the guy who's having the Chris Pratt moment from 2015. Taron Egerton. At this point, Taron Egerton's name is on every list for every character.
I mean,
nothing against him. I think he's fantastic in the Kingsman movies. Robin Hood.
He is incredible in Rocket Man. Incredible.
Oh yeah, say that. Rocket Man's on my list. I haven't seen Rocket Man yet, but my wife saw it and she loved it. But yeah, right now he's having a moment. So like, I think his name goes up everywhere. Could he do it? Absolutely. But I think it's sort of like I don't think that he would want to put himself down for a television service because right now he is a gigantic
Wolverine.
Movie
Just
star.
Move on.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah. Taron Egerton is definitely having a moment. So this is a fun name that I hadn't considered before too, because once again, the guy who's about to become available, Rami Malek.
Oh.
So we go from Elton John over to Freddie Mercury. So Rami Malek, the star of Mr. Robot, and obviously he was won an Oscar for Bohemian Rhapsody, but another like great, very intense dudes. Great look, really, really popular. So yeah, I think I think whoever signs him for the next project is gonna really, really get a winner. Because like I think no matter what he picks, he's gonna elevate it just by being in it. So I think that's a great choice. Also, it ties in a little bit to the Egyptian theme if they actually have that he has a connection to that too.
Wait,
because he actually is part Egyptian. So
I swear. I swear I thought you were going to say Night at the Museum.
Oh, oh yeah. So he was great Night at the Museum. That was one of my daughter's favorite movies growing up. So I've seen that movie probably like 50 or 60 times. He was great.
By the way, if anybody just goes, wait a minute, the guy from Mr. Robot?
The guy from Mr. Robot was the Pharaoh.
Yes, he is.
From Night at the Museum. That first Night at the Museum is still a terrific movie.
Second one is great just because of Amelia Earhart. The third one, forget it.
Yes, agreed.
There you go. There's a quick Night at the Museum trilogy review for you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, see the first one. If you can see the second one, because Amy Adams is amazing. But then, since I take the third one, don't even bother.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the name. Actually, the first name I heard connected to Moon Knight when they started talking about it, And it's a left field suggestion, but the more I think about it, the more I like the idea. And it's Shia LaBeouf.
I know.
And yet. Okay, so there's always the stigma attached to the young actors that when they're getting the business too soon, they go crazy. And Disney used to say, all right, they'll go crazy. Just turns out that they just move the timeline a little farther. So Shia has had some problems. But
well, and certainly not making light of any of that, because I mean, really, obviously, he's clearly battled a lot of stuff.
Yes, he has gone through a lot of stuff. But that being said, he doesn't have quite the criminal history that somebody else went. So I mean, like he went through some stuff, no question. But it wasn't like he robbed a liquor store or set something on fire or massively.
Right.
He had some time. But from what read, he is on the mend and he is sort of putting things back together again. And it's kind of a fun idea. Like when he shows up, he really delivers. He did some amazing, amazing stuff. So if they can get him when he's sort of on this, like, I mean, let's say Marvel has a history of finding broken actors or actors who have had some rough times and giving them their opportunity and really letting them shine.
It's great, obviously. Wow.
Right?
Boy, interesting.
I know. It's like the more I think about it, they kind of go, okay. I mean, he's a young guy. He's fit.
Yeah.
No, he's got the intensity. He can do crazy.
Okay. Is that the whole list?
No, there's one more, and it's the obvious one, the one that everyone is talking about, and I think it's not going to happen, but it's Keanu Reeves.
Oh, wait, what? No, yeah. Keanu's no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's like, okay, but right now, once again, if you have an action thing right now, Keanu Reeves' name is on the list. I mean, that's just like, once again, he is also having a big career renaissance right now. I don't think this is something he'd want to do. I mean, I think he would be interested in doing Marvel, like in doing, doing a hero and stuff too. I just don't think this particular project is one that would really get his pistons firing.
Yes, no, Adam Warlock is. Adam Warlock is destined for him.
I don't know. I think at some point that someone will get him for a superhero thing. I just don't think Moon Knight is the one that's gonna.
So you know,
when it was a movie, I was thinking yes, definitely. When they announced his television series, I think that I don't think it's quite what he wants to do.
You know what's amazing?
We'll see. I would prefer to be fine with it, of course, but I just
right. Okay, what's amazing about that list is when you start to talk about that, and you probably, if you're listening to this, you're thinking, wow, okay, this is an interesting discussion about these 10 actors, right? And you could do the same thing with 10 actresses. You could pick any genre, any sort of grouping of actors, and you could do these lists. What it really, I think, is incredible for anyone who's an actor or an actress, the amount of media platforms that now exist for you to get a role, to break out and do something phenomenal. It's never been as big a pond as it is.
And yet harder to make an impact.
Yes, right, at the same time.
A star of a show, and I have never heard of them before.
Wow. I mean, on one hand, that's great, though. If that's your craft, man, more just keep at it, because that's totally cool. I mean.
No, obviously, this is not my list. This was the list they put together, and there's some good names on there. But there's nothing that says that Mark Spector has to be a white dude.
Oh, of course.
And there's one guy, there's one Latino on this list, and there's one person of mixed race.
Right.
But the rest, I mean, there's nothing to that can be said that there's nothing really in his history that says it has to be, has to be Johnny Squarejaw.
Interesting. Yeah, but still, that's kind of neat to just kind of do the little exploration of the talent you have available, and that's just awesome.
Yeah, and it'll probably be another year or so before we even hear that too, because that list is so far down the line.
Are you saying that Disney Plus has a pretty rich content map?
Yes, I'd say their release calendar is quite robust.
Speaking of Disney Plus, wow, that was an amazing segue.
Smooth.
So listen, speaking of Disney Plus, well, you if you missed this, well, you had a really good deal available to you. that yep. we was just incredible. It was a D23 coming off the heels of D23. I don't know how they announced this, but for a while there, if you got the free D23 membership, you go to D23.com.
Yep.
You signed up. Basically, a day or two afterwards, you got an offer to basically get, what was it, 3 years of Disney Plus for the price of two, even still at a discount.
Yes.
So it was 3 years for $141, which basically made it $4 a month.
Yeah.
And we, of course, both of us did that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because.
Were you a D23 member before that?
No, I was not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was. But no, just a silver member.
Well, I was just whatever the free membership is, because I know you can pay for other memberships. Right. Okay, no, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and what a show of! I mean, they obviously extended it to fans. I mean, they put it out for D23 being the Disney fan club, like, hey, you're the super fans. Here's a great offer for you, but then made it so you could join D23 for free. Just to get this offer, you know, and thereby increasing the numbers too.
Now, if you're listening,
it's a vote of confidence. Like,
oh, absolutely,
saying we'll be around in 3 years.
Well, of course they will. And if you're listening and saying, wait, it's over. Yeah, that the deal's over. However, the deal, the other deal that they're going to offer, the combo of Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN.
Yeah,
that sounds like, I mean, what is it, like $12.99 or something for the three of them?
Yeah.
If you already have Hulu, or if you don't have Hulu, you certainly can get, that's a great service. But wow, I mean, you got great deals regardless. I mean, but this one for sure, $4 a month for 3 years is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then for all the stuff that we know, that just from what they announced, it was like, oh yeah, that's worth it to me.
Well, so the interesting, this was kind of amusing that, I have a friend of mine who's a podcaster. He's, Father Roderick, he's in the Netherlands, and he just posted, along with I think a few other people. Did you hear that the beta went live for people in the Netherlands?
Yeah, and some interesting titles were on there that they have not been advertising before.
Yes. So, well, first of all, the interface looks amazing. I mean, the interface looks okay. It's very Apple-esque.
It's very Apple,
but it's exactly what you want. Like, honestly. Okay, like you click Pixar and there's all your Pixar movies and there's all your Pixar shorts and away you go. Mm-hmm. I mean, all I will just say is from what I saw, but man, I hope they're ready to go November 12th, because there's going to be a lot of people not getting out of their chairs for like 3-4 days. I'm not kidding.
Oh yeah. There's lots of stuff that, that like they had announced. So a couple of the things that were in the service, and now obviously take this all with a grain of salt, not because we're saying it's not true, but licensing is weird. So there are shows that could be available in the Netherlands and Europe that are not over here because of weird licensing deals and that kind of stuff. But one of the things that was not as relevant to us, but super relevant to me, was the Disney Afternoon. All the Disney Afternoon shows were available on the streaming service, which they had not announced before. So DuckTales, Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck, Gargoyles, all of them were there. And then all of the seasons are available to stream, which is super exciting for us kids who grew up with that in the 90s. Yeah. More relevant to this podcast was a bunch of the Marvel animated series were there, the classic Marvel ones. So they had the X-Men cartoon from the 90s. They had the Spider-Man Unlimited. Oddly, not the Spider-Man, like the mid-90s Spider-Man. I think that, once again, some weird licensing stuff probably with Sony. But a bunch of those shows were all in there. Spider-Man His Amazing Friends was on. And then all of the ones that Disney had, so Ultimate Spider-Man, Marvel's Avengers, so a lot of, and the streaming shows that have never been on streaming services before, now going to be part of Disney Plus.
It just looked like it was too good to be true. I mean, if you watch any of these reviews, you're just like, wow, if this is really what it is, I really just cannot believe they are doing what they're doing.
I pity their poor IT department, who is right now scrambling for server space. Like, oh God, please don't let it crash in the first day.
I don't think that's going to happen, but I will just tell you that, wow. I mean, it's just glorious of a fan. If you're a fan of any of these franchises, I don't know what else you do. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's just awesome.
Yeah, they could really easily have split each of these off into their own service.
Absolutely. But totally. We all would have signed up for a Marvel universe and a Star Wars universe. I mean, come on.
$5 a month, all the Marvel content. For $5 a month, all the Star Wars content. It's like, no, you're getting all of it.
You're getting all of it. And it's unbelievable. And yeah, when you see it live, I just couldn't believe it. So a couple things that even came out of this is there were some images that leaked about the Marvel What If show.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we talked about the one of this one made me super excited. There was the one image of Captain Britain, Peggy Carter being Captain Britain.
Yep.
But there is an image that leaked that has a zombie Captain America in it.
That's right. In the logo, apparently, you can see zombie Captain America. And then the image leaked of like a full on. So it looks like they're going to be doing a What If of Marvel Zombies.
And I'm going to tell you something. I love Marvel Zombies. I've said this before.
Yeah.
I love that series. Oh, wow. If they do that, that's crazy. I don't know how you do that. I mean, that's got to be rated a little bit. Like,
yeah. And also, or whatever. How do you do it in half an hour?
Yeah. Well, you could, just eat more brains. a certain creature and his sidekick show up and that's the end. You know, as a show, as an animated show, it probably really does only run 30 minutes. But anyway, just I was like, whoa, wait, what? Because now I'm just completely excited.
Yeah, and then one of the images that came out looks to be Thanos joining the Avengers. It was like, So not fighting them, but actually becoming a member. So it's like, oh, what's that story?
Oh, that's comic book.
Fun. Right. I mean, that's what if that's what it's all about.
Well, and you know, I saw another article. This wasn't related to this, but it made me think, well, this is something you could do too, is in the whole the vein of WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could certainly do a what if series on what if Natasha and Hulk just ended up together.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? Like if that all worked out, well, then how does that look? And you could do a whole thing on that. I mean, it gives Scarlett Johansson a some more work to do. Not that she needs it, but it would be more work. You know what I mean? Like, I mean that series, I'm interested in all of it, but what if maybe one of the, when it launches that I am right on. Mm-hmm. I absolutely can't wait to watch that.
Yeah. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun conversation thing too at the end of every episode going, could you believe they did that?
Yeah, that's cool. So Disney Plus, it's less than 2 months away, but man, oh, come on. it's just, I mean, really, when you see the people in action while using it and you just go, yeah, I want to do that.
Hey, dear Disney Plus, if you're looking for beta testers.
Yeah. If you need beta testers in the United States.
We are available. And,
Just a couple of two really funny little toy news. Everyone knows I'm a big Marvel Legends fan. They just announced Marvel Legends and X-Men Vintage Series. And the figure that they showed was Silver Samurai.
Ooh.
Which is, I mean, these are like, right? Like this is deep stuff.
Yeah.
But it looks really, really good. It's a totally articulated. He looks just amazing. I mean, he's just awesome.
Is he actually silver or do they just have him be like gray?
Oh no, full on silver with the red rising sun burst on his chest.
Nice.
Oh yeah, no, he's full on silver. The only thing that I saw is the original figure that came out a long time ago. The Toy Biz version had a removable helmet. This one is not. This one's all because I think they wanted it to be more of, it's got more of like a Vader look to it, but obviously silver and stuff. And I think they were going for that better articulation. So it's got the helmet attached. And this is cool. If you're an Endgame fan and you wanted your own Hulk nano gauntlet, the Marvel Legends version is not only in stock at Amazon.com, but it is also on sale for $20 off the $99 retail price.
Wow.
Which I know you're like, really? But no, that's a cool.
That's full. Those are like awesome. Sound and light, right?
Full sound and light, fully articulated. You put your hand in it with little pulls that you can like. It articulates all five of the fingers. It's got full sound and light effects. You even has a spot just like the Thanos one that came out a year ago where you can like make a fist or other hand gestures and press a button and it will hold those fingers in place of that.
Oh, that's neat.
And by other hand gestures, I mean thumbs up. What else would you do with that? And I'll leave it there.
I expect to see that on the convention circuit.
Yes.
People walking around with that.
So you got that. So a reminder, if you have the Thanos one, the Infinity Gauntlet is a left hand. The Nano Gauntlet is for the right hand, so you could wear both at the same time. And I don't know what destruction of the time-space fabric of the universe happens as a result of that, but there's that.
Cool. All right, so I think that covers most of the Marvel news for now. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more news and rumors and wild speculation coming down the line. So we will see you further on up the road.